I labored over what to preach this morning, and I know you've had you have a history of good preaching. Pastor's a good preacher. He's a good Bible teaching preacher. And mine will be probably lighter, but I prayed, and the Lord laid this upon my heart. Let me give you the introduction, and then there's five or six verses that we'll pin to this. This is not a typical expository message, but more of a theme message so that you can follow with me on that. I did my first, my second church plant was in the state of Tennessee. I was a young buck preacher, you know, in his early 20s back then, and we were under Baptist Home Missions doing church planting in the U.S. And we actually, if you know the name Dr. Bill Hall, we went to his home area. He and his wife are dear friends, and to start a church in a small town in Kentucky. Now, you have to understand, I'm not Kentucky. I mean, I'm not Tennessee. And that's where we were going. We were going to Tennessee, not Kentucky. And the fact of the matter was, they didn't view me as original. They had a term for me, and I hate to say it, but they called me the little young Yankee pastor. So, and I think it was meant to be a blessing, but you know, you have to roll with the flow sometimes. But we started a church, pastor, and I remember the first Sunday we had 19 people, and five of them were my family. So you know, we didn't start with great guns, and I'm not a local. I had a Detroit accent and still do, and to them I was Brother Bob, it's like my mom said, I didn't teach you to talk that way, and because she was born and grew up in the North, so here I am. Pastoring in Parsons, Tennessee, a place with three traffic lights and one worked, and it was rural Tennessee, I'm a city boy, and I'm now in a farming community. That was an experience. I could tell you stories upon stories but we're here to preach, not to tell stories, and it was something that. When we finally built we started in a bar. Well, we would call it here a bar. We call it down there a honky-tonk. Now, if you don't know what that means, that just ages you. So I understand, but that's where we were. We were in an old honky-tonk. We cleared out all of the bars, all of the beer signs. We did all of that. And I actually, my pulpit was on the dance floor. It was kind of cool, You could really move, when you're preaching. But we're in a converted bar and we were growing to some extent, and I'm winning the lost to Christ, and I'm discipling people, and we finally put our pennies together and saved enough money, and we were able to purchase land, and we built our first building. Now, it was small, but it was our building, and I never will forget those early years. Everybody who walked through the door was a candidate for membership. You know what I mean? I mean, you longed for more people. I mean, it's what you did. And I never will forget this one day. This is all preparatory to the message. You'll get it in a minute. I'm getting ready to preach. So we'd already sung all of our songs, and we had an opening prayer, for the congregation. And I read my scripture. And as I bowed my head to pray over the message, I peeked because I heard the door open in the back. And sure enough, this guy walks in, and he sat back like right in front of the sound booth. He sat right in the corner, just like you are. He sat right in the corner. But I saw him, and I thought, ooh, brand new guy. So I preached my message. We gave the invitation. And I figured if he came in late, he's going to shoot out of here early. So preachers do this. This is a way we do this sometimes. So I asked one of the other men to pray, to close the service. I usually did. And he starts praying, and I shoot for the door. And I beat the guy to the door. And so he's going out the door, and I'm there now. And I shook his hand, and he told me who he was. And I said, boy, I said, glad to... He said, I'm just visiting. You know, it's one of those, I'm just visiting. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I thought you were. So my plan was, and I did this all the time, I would, every time we had a visitor, I'd write them a letter thanking them for coming. My wife would get it, she was my secretary, she would type it out and get it ready on Monday morning. And where we were, this was back when you sent everything by mail. Mail is that stuff where you put it in an envelope and you put a stamp on it. It's not email. Okay, but we could do that on Monday, and I could be sure that by Tuesday, where they live, they'd get the letter. So here's what I would do. I'd go visit Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, after I knew that the letter got there. So sure enough, I drive to his home in Scotts Hill, to his area, find his house. I go up to his door, knock on the door. Wait a while, knock again. Finally, this lady comes to the door. She opens it up and she says, what do you want? I thought, this is going to be a real gem. And I said, well, I'm Pastor Bob McQuarrie. I'm from Faith Baptist Church. She said, okay. I said, I'm here to visit. And I mentioned her husband. She said, he's in the barn. Bam! Close the door. Well, I go down to the barn. And sure enough, he's in there. And he looks at me like, wow, this guy's here. And I said, hey, I wanted to thank you for coming. And I went through the plan of salvation with him in the conversation. And you know what he said? He said, I know all of that. I'm saved. I've been born again. Well, by that time, I think, hallelujah. I got another member and maybe a tither, you know, and God, you know the needs. And so I'm talking to him, and I said, oh, man. And I said, oh, am I glad to hear that? So you know the Lord? He said, yeah, I know the Lord. I said, where are you from? He said, Peoria. Well, I know where that was. He said, I used to work for a heavy equipment company there. He said, I worked at the assembly line. I said, oh, wow. He said, I've retired down here. I thought, well, lots of time. That means I've got to. And then I said this to him. I said, wow, maybe the Lord will have you come on board and you can help me with it. He goes just like this. Stop. I'm not kidding. Stop. Held up this hand. It looked like a catcher's mitt. And he said, I'm here, but I'm not interested in that. He said, listen, I just visited your church because I knew I should. And he says all of this to me. I said, hey, man, listen, if you're born again, I says, God could probably have you help me with this. He's looked at me. He said, hey, listen, I came to a conclusion long ago. And he said it just kind of this way. I probably shouldn't say this on Sunday morning, but it kind of ticked me off. He said, anyway, what in the world can God do with me? I looked at him, and the Detroit side of me kicked in. And I said, huh? He said, you really want to know? He said, no, what? I said, well, you just said, well, what can God do with me? I said, do you really want to know? He said, what do you mean? I said, I can show you what God wants to do with you. He said, what? I said, yeah. And before he could say no, I grabbed the New Testament out of my pocket. And I said, let me show you a verse. You ask the question, I'm going to tell you what God can do with you. I'm going to walk you through what I told this 52-year-old guy who had been saved for 9 years, so he was saved in his 40s, who was saved from a life of sin, I'm going to tell you what a young 20-something-year-old preacher told him and what the outcome was. So get your Bibles. I'll tell you the first verse I turned to was 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. So I don't ever ask a person to read Scripture unless I think they can or they've told me they can, so I read to him this verse. For the which cause, verse 12, 2 Timothy 1, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to commit, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I said, you ask me, what can God do with me? I said, well, if I understand what Paul's saying here, I would say the first thing is God can help to keep you from spiritual regret. He said, what? I said, listen, I'm a young guy in the ministry and I realize that, but I've already met people who've said this to me. I know when God spoke to my heart about serving him. And I know what God did in my heart. And I remember the day when I said, God, I'll do anything you want. And then I know the days when I walked away from that. I said, I've met people, even in my young ministry, that have regret upon regret upon regret. Because they know that God had a purpose for their life. God wanted something. And for one reason or another, they were in that thing where Paul said, I am not ashamed. They became that way. They were ashamed. And they would not do anything that they said, God, I'll do anything, but they closed the door. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now. Paul said, God, you're able to commit that which I've, you're able to keep that which I've committed unto you. I said, now, we differ as to what that may mean. Does that talk about his salvation? Or does that talk about his giving himself over to the Lord? It could go either way in the Greek language. And I'm telling you right now, I looked at that and I told him, I said, I know what God can do. God can use you beyond what you think and keep you from ever regretting that you walked away from the call of God. Maybe some of you here this morning know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe back yonder when you were something age, God spoke to your heart. God tugged at you. And you knew that God was dealing with you and you walked away. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do that for a marriage partner. Sometimes we do that because our family life is not what it ought to be. Sometimes raising kids is like raising wild Indians. And we say, wow. And we back away. And I told him, I said, I know God can keep you from spiritual regret. Then he said to me, he said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, he said. I get what you're saying. I mean, this was him. Now he's talking to me. He said, I get what you're saying. He said, let me ask you, you been to college? Now, at that point in time, it wasn't helpful for me to tell him, I'm the only one of 8 kids in my family who went to college. It wasn't helpful for him to know that I'm out of a single-parent family where my mom had all this responsibility, and I'm the only kid who got to go to college because God had called me to preach, and that was the only way I knew to prepare back then. It wasn't helpful to say that. And I said, yeah, I've been to college. Then he did this. I will never. He's that hand, that catcher's mitt. He said, see that? That's what's got me through life. He said, see all those scars in that hand? See all those blisters? See all those bunions? See all those things? He says, I've worked hard all my life. He said, And I've come to the conclusion that I'm not brilliant, I'm not smart, and so therefore I say to you, preacher, hey, listen, God can't work with me. I said, hey, I've got another verse I want to read. And I had him turn with me, or I turned, to Acts 20 and verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. Look what the scripture says. Paul was speaking to a bunch of his brethren, and he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I said, "Don't you realize what God can do?" He said, "What?" I said, "God's not limited. You don't think God knew you? God can take what you think is your lack of intellect, and God can give you enough knowledge to be usable in his service." That's what God does. That's what God specializes in. He said, "Yeah, you really think? You really do think that God can do it?" I said, "Let me read another scripture." And I turned with him to Ephesians chapter 3. And there in his barn, I read verse 20. "Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I said, "Let me tell you right now." I said, "I'd be willing to stake my life on this, that God not only can use you, but God can probably do through you more than you ever thought possible." He said, "You really believe that?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Because it's God that works in us. It's God that empowers us. It's God that does the work." Preacher would be the first one to tell you today that his preaching doesn't amount to a hill of beans if it doesn't have the power of God in it. Because that's where we understand this. And I said, "Listen, God's able to do this." About that time, I looked up, you know, because I just read the scripture. I look up, and I'll never... Tears are dripping down his face. I thought, "Oh, you ever get that feeling, preacher?" I thought, "Oh, Bob, what did you say?" You know, I'm there trying to get this guy serving the Lord, and here's this. Now you have to understand, at that point in time, I thought 52 was ancient. You know, and I thought, "Oh, man, what do I just..." You know, guys, one step out of heaven, and I'm, you know, and I'm here, and I blew it, Lord, and I'm, you know, and you do a real, preachers do this, we do a real quick repentance, oh God, I'm sorry, you know, and I looked at him, and I said, did I say something that offended you? He said, "Oh no." Then he said this: "Everything you've said this morning, today, this afternoon, everything you said, I already knew." I said, "What?" He said, "Oh yeah." Then he went on to tell me, he said, "I got saved in an independent Baptist church up in Peoria." He said, "When I got saved, I surrendered to do anything God wanted me to do." Well, now I'm thinking, what? He said, "And I even volunteered and I drove a bus for Sunday school attendance for the bus ministry up there." He said, "But you know, every time I made a decision to serve God, it was like Satan brought something back up from the past and just hit me right in the mouth with it. Pow!" I said, "Oh, come on, it can't be that bad." He said, "Did you meet her?" you know, and I'm thinking, "Oh, how do I do this?" And I said, "Who?" He said, "Did you go to my house first and did you meet my wife?" I said, "Yeah." You know, what was I going to say? "Whoa, did I ever?" You know, it's like having a tornado hit you. You know, but no, I didn't say that. I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Let me tell you something. When we got married, She was the sweetest, the kindest, the most gentle person that I've ever met on the face of the earth. Then he said this, I did that to her. I said, what? He said, oh, preacher. He said, I was such a lousy husband. He said, drinking, carousing, filthy language, stubborn will, my way or the highway. He said, I beat her down, beat her up, verbally. He said, I did that. I did that. He said, every time, it seems as though God begins to speak like through you this today. He said, I realize that I can't get rid of my past. And I said, oh, do I have a verse for you? He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, this is a verse that God has used to help me in my life. I said, my past. I said, I never discuss with my kids what I was before I got saved at the age of 18. I said, now I was a Baptist kid raised in a church like this. I was the first kid in the nursery. I grew up in church, but I was lost. I attended every Sunday school. I went to church because my mom made me go. We were a bus family. She couldn't drive. We had to depend on other people to bring us. So I said, yeah, I said, let me share with you a verse that God's really given to me that's helped me. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'll read with you verse 18. I read to him this verse, Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself, speaking of Jesus, hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He goes, oh, what does that mean? I said, oh, it's powerful. I said, the word secure in our King James Bible is actually taken from two words in the original language. I said, no, I'm not going to give you a lesson in the original language, but I'm going to tell you what it means. I said, half the word means to cry out loud. The second half of the word means to run toward. He said, what are you getting at? I said, here's what I'm getting at. Jesus promises that if we surrender to him, that even though the devil may charge us with opposition and say, hey, I remember what you were like, and he brings up all your past or all of your failures. I said, here's what we do. We pray to the Lord and say, God Almighty, will you help me? I know you've forgiven it, but you know all of these. And I said, here's what God does. God hears our cry, and God runs to our assistance. I said, what Jesus has promised us is that the Holy Spirit of God, who is the paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us, that he won't leave us in that condition, that God understands who we are. God made us, and God knows what we did. Nothing is hidden from God. And therefore, all I need to do is I need to have a positional side of me that says, God, I come to you, I need your help. And in God's economy, what he's promised to do is he runs alongside and he becomes that strength, that help in time of need. Hallelujah. Man, I'm going nuts in that barn. And the guy says, you mean to tell me God would do that for me? I said, I'm not only going to tell you he would, I know he will. He said, you really think so? I said, yeah. I said, because there's another verse that I've got to share with you. Turn with me to the book of Jude. One chapter, that's all we have here. verses 24 and 25. Jude would write this. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I said, look at what God is saying. He's promised to keep us from falling. I said, do you know what that means? That means that he activates 1 John 1:9. He said, what? I said, yeah. Powerful passage. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, God's able to do that, and he wants to do that. And it isn't that God doesn't know what we're doing. He wants us to come to a place where we admit who we are, to admit what we are. I said, and in the process of activating that verse, he promises to keep us from really messing up. Did you know that God's intent for you is nothing but victory? Nothing but it. You say, ah, but you don't know what we've been through since COVID. No, I've been through too. But I do know this, that God has shown himself mighty and powerful in and through it all. Because he's God, and that's what he does. And he said, you really believe that, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, but there's a second half to that verse that you got to get a hold of. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, that means, and I said, I'll take a little liberty with it, but that means this. That when you go to heaven, because I heard your testimony this morning, Sunday school. When you go to heaven, God's going to do this when he walks in. He's going to take him and stand him before the Father. And just say, Father, here is who I was talking about. Here is who I died for. And he's going to do that with every one of us that know him as Savior. Hallelujah. There's not one of us that cannot be used of God. Because he's so equipped us that everybody has some kind of a gift. And therefore, all God is looking for is for us to sing the song and mean it from our heart. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. One of these days, he's going to take me before the Father. And this is amazing to me. And he's going to say to God the Father, that's Bob. That's who I was talking about. And this little kid from Detroit, Michigan, who came out of a family of eight, whose dad left his home when he was 8 years of age, is going to stand there in awe, rejoicing, because God, for some reason, saw me as usable. And he saw you as usable. What you have to come to the conclusion is, what I brought this guy, what can God do with me? What's the answer to that? Anything. Anything. Absolutely anything. Nothing is too hard for God. So all we have to do, and this is tough, all we have to do is say, God, all right, not my will, like Jesus prayed in the garden, but thine be done. Lord, show me what you want. Now, you may be sitting here today, and you may think, you know what, McQuarrie, that's okay for you, but I'm too old to use. It won't work. It won't work. We broke the age barrier. on service. We know that if we can go to the mission field in our early 60s, then what can God do with you? You say, well, I'm just a teenager. Oh, you're fertile ground. You say, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that. Don't pitch the excuse. Pitch the heart. Pitch the heart. And say, hey, God, I've never viewed myself as much of a catch, but obviously you view me different. You say, what do you mean by that? He made you. Made you exactly the way you are. With all your ups and downs, with all your quirks, with all your kind of stupid habits, with all your irritating ways, God knows. And God still says, come unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Maybe it'd be good for, you know, this is a good church. You're a good congregation. You probably have a lot of good people who've already surrendered to the Lord. But there may be somebody here that you and God are in a tug of war. And God's been dealing with you. And you know it. Now, it may be that God's dealing with you about eternity, where you honestly don't know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You just don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, I know. Because at the age of 18, I quit being a Baptist. I quit. I became a child of God. And I said, Lord, if you've ever saved anybody, would you please save me? And you know what? God did. God did. So maybe you're struggling because God's been speaking to you about that. You're just as lost as can be. Even though you may even be a church member. You say, what do you mean by that? I had a choir director's wife come up to me when I was a freshman in Bible college. They had just moved out of Detroit. She was my choir director's wife. She was old. She was in her mid-30s. She came up to me as a young buck kid, Bible college kid, and said, guess what happened to me? I said, what? I said, what was it, Inez? She said, Bob, I just got saved this week. You say, what? A choir director's wife? Yeah. Because she knew in her heart she had no hope of heaven. See, you have to settle that yourself between you and God. But then there may be someone here this morning that God's just saying, hey, I'm not done with you. I've got stuff for you to do. And I would imagine preacher would say, oh, Bob, tell them there's lots of jobs open here. Now, I'm not just talking about doing things here at church. It may be your neighborhood. It may be that you've never one time talked to the people on your street about Jesus. And it's time. It's time for you to get God's burden for them. I was praying this morning about this message, and I was praying in my prayer time. Two doors away from us, where we live in Evansville, there is a Southeast Asian family. And I prayed this. I said, God, would you open up a door where I could communicate better with them about your gospel? I said, God, wouldn't it be a shame for me to go all over the world talking to people who look a lot like them and never to have personally had an opportunity or made an opportunity happen to give them the gospel? Now, we've given them gospel tracts. We've done things like that, but I've never communicated with them face to face. That's going to change. I couldn't preach this message without me doing business with God this morning. What about you?